The Church Media Podcast, episode 166, 5 Advanced Tips for Enhancing Your Church Announcements with Rich Birch. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio, lighting, video, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Episode 166 of the Church Media Podcast. Welcome. This podcast is part of the training arm of 1230 Media. We work inside 3 distinct buckets of ministry to help churches all around the world. We produce worship media, which is pre-made off-the-shelf content that is ready to use at your church. We produce hundreds of mini-movies, service packs, series boxes, and lyric media, all on our online store. You can purchase products individually or through our Go Unlimited subscription plan for only $49 a month. We also serve churches and ministries through custom media. This is really our bread and butter. This is what most churches come to us for. Our team is incredible in taking your ideas for your sermon series, promotional video, performance piece, or anything that you might need in the realm of graphic design and video for your church, and making it a reality for you. Through our partnerships with ministries like Seeds Family Worship, Answers in Genesis, David C. Cook, Seedbed, and others, our custom content has been distributed and used in over a whopping 65,000 churches and ministries worldwide. We've made literally hundreds of song videos, bumpers, trailers, series designs, and other content that's used in churches every Sunday, used in Vacation Bible Schools, kids and student curriculum, the list goes on. And we don't take it for granted. We're so humbled by what we're seeing God do. We also offer absolutely free training materials through our blog, podcast network, and online resources to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. So I wanted to kind of give you an overview of what 1230 Media does, because I know a lot of you listen to the podcast and may not know what it's a part of, that it's a part of a bigger ministry that serves churches worldwide. So we work for you guys. So if you need anything from media content help to help with how to build your volunteer team, anything that you might need for your church in way of media or production or helping enhance your worship experience, we're here to help you. You can find out more at 1230.media. That's our website. Our mission is to serve you with everything we have. We love to partner with you, so check us out, learn more. We want to have a friendship and relationship with you. 1230.media is our website. Okay, this week on the show, we round out my time with author and coach Rich Birch. Rich is the author of Church Growth Flywheel, and if you've missed the last 3 weeks of the podcast, go back and listen. We walked through the entire book, and Rich shared some incredible insight into how to make your church grow. Be sure to check that out. This week, Rich and I are going to talk about something we both are very passionate about, and that is enhancing your church announcements. Now, if you've been with us a while, you'll know that announcements is a topic that we've covered a few times on the show. In fact, this week on our blog, we're doing a post that curates all of our best blog posts and podcast episodes on the topic, Your Ultimate Guide to Announcements, both from the stage and video. That will be available at 1230.media/blog this week. And to give you some insider info, our team has been working on some ways to revamp our church announcement offerings to give you more options when outsourcing or making your own video announcements. We'll have some big news coming soon, so just hang tight. All right, time to jump in. Rich Birch and I will give you 5 advanced tips for enhancing your church announcements right after this church media tip. Fire it.
And now, your church media tip of the week. Useful tips and tricks to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. Here's Carl Barnhill.
Volunteers are the lifeblood of most churches. Even the largest churches in the nation depend heavily on volunteers to execute weekend services and activities. There are times when volunteers leave your ministry for good reasons. There are times where volunteers need to be moved to another ministry or asked not to serve on your team. That happens. But as far as it depends on us as leaders, we need to make every effort possible to keep and retain the volunteers that we have. So I want to remind all of us to be intentional about how we care for our team. So my church media tip for you this week is this: genuinely love and care for your volunteers. Now this may sound obvious, but we need to be really intentional about pastoring our people first. By far, the number one thing you can do to retain volunteers on your team is to take care of them, to love them, to pastor them well. Yes, you may be the church tech guy, but our hearts need to beat for people. If you have a mindset of using people to accomplish a task and don't pastor them well, they'll eventually leave. Pastor your people first, genuinely love and care for them.
Get more free coaching for your production team through our blog, podcast, and online resource library. Visit 1230.media/training today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
My guest today is author, speaker, and unseminary podcast host Rich Birch. He has over 20 years' experience in church world with staff positions at The Meeting House in Toronto, Liquid Church, and others. Rich, welcome back to the show, man.
Well, I must have not totally botched the first, you know, interaction here because you had me back, so that's great.
I know. Well, I only invite people back that I like, so you're in the club, man.
Man, that's nice. That feels good. I appreciate that, girl.
All right. So this time around, I want to talk about a chapter that's in your latest book, Church Growth Flywheel, and it's all on church announcements. And we've spent a lot of time on this podcast and our blog talking about church announcements, and we serve churches making custom church announcements. And so it's a big kind of deal for us. And so now that you're kind of a church announcement fanatic, right? why do you love this part in the service?
Yeah, so I get super excited about announcements, and people look at me like, dude, you're crazy. Like, I think, so first of all, again, step back, philosophical. There, you know, most services of the people who are listening in really have three components. There's the worship, the musical worship portion of the morning, and that's really about transcendent, right? Like, it's like just literally last weekend at church, we were singing a worship song, and, you know, I'm not a particularly emotional guy, but, you know, the words resonated with me, and it was just so powerful, right? And there's something that happens in that moment that's just amazing, and it stirs your heart, which is incredible. And then, you know, the other part of the service is the teaching portion, and we know, you know, there's studies done. You know, folks like Gallup did the study that, you know, 3/4 of the reason why people attend is actually because of the teaching. It's a big deal, and, you know, teaching that is, you know, biblically based and driven towards application to life, it seems to be statistically what people are looking for. And so and that's really important. But then there's like this third part of the service that most churches have, which is announcements. And it's overlooked, it's anemic, it's like they don't even put any time into it. They give like a laundry list of people, a laundry list of items to some person to stand up and do it. And they're missing out. They're missing out on a great opportunity because of this. I think that those 5 minutes in your service, or 3 minutes, or however long it is, those 5 minutes are the focus time that are about calling your community to action. It's about saying, hey, this is what we want to get you plugged into what's happening here. It's the kind of concentrated time that's all about saying, hey, this is the next step we want you to take in our community. And that, to me, that should be treated with great reverence and like planning and like services like yours where you're actually investing money and resources to leverage those moments well. Because and not just ignored, not just kind of relegated to like, oh, that's just like a, you know, a minor part of the service. It's like, no. Like, that is the part that ultimately is going to move people to get more connected to the church. And I know all the church leaders are listening today. You know that actually engaging engagement is an incredibly important issue in your church. Getting people actually to connect and plug in is incredibly important. And so I think the announcements are just, and again, you're going to have to stop me because I just love talking about church announcements.
Well, I think we should also mention here, too, that there are different forms of this. So a lot of churches will use just on stage and on stage host. Churches will use church video announcements. Churches will use slides, and then churches will use a combination of all three of those. And so it really depends. When we're talking to churches, we suggest that it really depends on your culture. If your culture is not going to sit through a video, you can't find a good place where people are going to, then why spend the money on it? Like there's no point in doing that because it's just going to fry up valuable time during the week that your team is spending on it or that you're spending money on it, getting those done when it's not going to fit your culture or whatever. So do you suggest a certain way to do announcements?
Yeah, so I think, and in the book I don't get into all this, but I do think, you need to be like everything. You need to start with your audience and say, okay, what works well here and how do we communicate in a way that's, you know, compelling. I do think video announcements are, and hopefully this doesn't go again, because I know it's your service, and I do think people should check it out. I think video announcements are particularly great in multi-site churches. It's a particularly good tool in that environment to augment what happens with a live, say, campus pastor in an environment. I think we used video announcements really to do the heavy lifting on some of the detail stuff around whatever's going on in our church. And then we leave the pastoral moment for the campus pastor to do. So, for instance, let's say we're talking about community groups or life groups or small group launch. You know, there are details around that. There's like maybe some event they've got to come to, or there's some form they've got to fill out, or all that kind of thing. And so we would use the video announcements to talk through the detail side of it. This is what a community group is. This is why you should be in one. And this is the detail on how, you know, you should, you know, plug into that. But then what would happen is the campus pastor gets up and gives the pastoral heart behind that, talks about their own group, talks about, you know, the way that God's used their group to form their life and really be like, man, you should get plugged into this. This is the reason why. So I think you've got to think through, how does this fit into the overall kind of communication strategy, what you're doing at your church, what resonates? I absolutely agree with you. But I think particularly, I don't know that enough churches do video announcements, to be honest. I know that's going to sound like I'm playing to you, but I think it's a great tool. I think it's an underused tool. I think it can be, when it's well done, it can be the kind of thing that really you can get a lot of traction out of if it fits in the right context, if you're kind of thinking through how it fits into your overall strategy.
Right, and I agree with you. I think we work with a lot of multi-site churches that this style is good because the leadership knows that we're communicating the exact thing the exact same way across every campus. And then we can come in with a host and kind of flesh out what that means for this specific campus. But I agree with you. I've seen some horrible, and we all have, horrible church announcements, video-wise, and some horrible stage experiences. So I think that it does take time, planning, and effort. It's not some of the, you know, a thing that you just kind of slap together. This is a piece of your worship experience, and so to plan it out and make it intentional, I think is extremely vital.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It needs to be intentional. And I think that probably is the overall piece. There are leaders, and it's maybe not your audience, but it's maybe the people that they work for. They see announcements as like a secondary kind of throwaway part of the service. It's a giant hassle. You know, I've heard church leaders say, like, I just need to get rid of it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm like, why? That's the part where you get people engaged. Why would you do that? That's a terrible idea. You have your largest audience that you ever get a chance to communicate with. They're in front of you, and they're generally primed to listen at that point. So you need to figure out how to leverage that and use it well.
Yeah, and I think as we frame this discussion, I think that is our why, and I think you'd agree with this, that it is to, an announcement is to move people from the seat to the street. It's to move them into action. And so, to take pieces of the part of the service to do that is extremely important. Let's talk through your five pieces of advice for enhancing our church announcements. So walk me through these. Your first one is to narrow the focus down. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so So I think most churches are talking about too many things on the weekend. So when you think about, again, if you let's get back to the call to action idea, I do think that announcements at the end of the day are about calling people to do something, like sign up for something, get plugged in, you know, take a class, whatever. Now, on a typical weekend, you've got usually the preaching would have some sort of call to action to it as well. And so if you have like, say, three announcements or four announcements, and each one of those has an individual announcement, there is just well-worn communication theory and, you know, communication studies that show that the more asks you make of people, there is a significant diminishment in their effectiveness. And so their overall effectiveness goes way down. And so, you know, if you ask people, if you have one thing that you want them to think about, they'll have an opportunity to remember it. If you ask them to have two things, they're going to remember them less, three even less, four even less. So what I think you need to do is narrow down ultimately to what is one or two announcements outside of the teaching that you're asking people to talk about. And I know that sounds like heresy, but actually focusing in and having the conversation, fighting it out ahead of time to say, well, what are the things that are important to us? We've got, you know, the example I've used with churches, I'm like, okay, you've got 52 weeks a year. You've got only two slots a weekend. So you've got 104 slots a year to do an announcement. You need to literally put that all up on a board and say, okay, what are we going to talk about on these weekends? And I would say, even more effective churches are pushing to only one announcement. So even one, just one thing, and trying to push as much kind of effectiveness into that as possible. So narrow the focus. What's that about? It's actually about reducing about the total number of things that you end up talking about.
So your second tip, I'm going to skip through these because I definitely want to get to all of them. So your second tip has to do with engagement. So what are some action steps that we can encourage people to take about an announcement?
Yeah, so these announcements should be engaging. They should be the kind of thing that draw people in. And there's a lot we can talk about here. I think sometimes we give the least engaging communicators the announcements. If I can just be honest and call a spade here. You know, you'll have like the lead person gets up and does that, they're doing the message, and then you feel bad for the youth pastor, and so you let them do the announcements. I'm not picking on youth pastors. Early ministry career was a youth pastor. But what you need to do is say, no, actually, who is the person who, you know, they make eye contact when they're in the room. They're using, you know, humor. They're finding a way to draw people that they're thinking, that person in the very back row, they are the kind of person I want to pull in. And so, you know, a way you could do that is through, you know, props or visuals or, you know, something unique or, you know, a funny slide or, you know, something that grabs their attention. It's, oh, I need to do my work to try to engage them, to actually to pull them in, to make sure that they're plugged in.
So I think that one thing that we miss a lot of the times is we don't give a clear call to action. We don't say, fill out this card, right, check this box, text this, call this, visit this. Like, speak to that. How do we make our calls to actions very clear?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right on something. And I know because you've been around a lot of churches and you're aware of these things, but some people may not be aware of this, that the difference between saying, hey, let's say you used to have a program at your church. The difference is saying, hey, there's a card in your program that you can fill out and about the upcoming groups thing. The difference in response rate between that and saying, hey, everybody, we really want you to fill out this card, and actually the person on stage has the card in their hand, and they say, can everybody pull this card out of your program now? Oh, I want to see you wave that in the air. Oh, that looks great. Oh, that's so, thank you so much. Bill, why aren't you waving it? Come on, get that out there. Now, if you fill out this card, with the three pieces of information that we're looking for, and drop it in the offering bucket as it goes by. Let's say that's how they're going to respond. Then we will get in touch with whatever. So the difference between the response rates on those two are astronomical.
Yeah.
And so we cannot make the call to response, as simple or as too simple. We have to slow it down, make it super easy, walk people through exactly what you need to do. Don't make them guess. Make it as simple as possible. Make it clear and obvious. And every announcement, if it doesn't have a call to action, if it doesn't have a, like, hey, like, this is what we want people to do, I would say, why are you doing it? Like, you shouldn't be doing things that are just like, I generally want to inform you about these things. No. There's not enough time to communicate on that stuff. Right. The assumption is we're trying to move an audience, a portion of the people that are there, to do something. And so every announcement needs to have a clear call to action on whatever that is.
And I think that leads us into your third tip, and that is, what's in it for me? How do we answer that question and make it clear to people what's in it for them?
The good old WIFM, again, if we can't clearly articulate why what you're talking about is going to make a difference in the life of the person attending, then they won't listen to you. They're not interested. And so, you know, it's the difference between saying, let's say you're going to, you're trying to encourage parents to invite their kids to come to the fall, let's say to invite their young people to call to the fall youth group kickoff thing. You know, churches will get up, some leaders will get up and say, okay, so we've got our senior high kickoff. It's on September 23rd. It's at 7:30. It costs $10. We'd love to see you there. Okay, you haven't communicated. All you've communicated is what it is. All you've said is the details about it. You haven't said what's in it for you. A better way to approach that would be, again, we're going to talk to parents, because that's actually parents that are in the room, and we're going to say, hey, moms and dads, listen, I know that you want your kids to have other friends here at the church. Why is that important? Because we know as kids grow that actually their five closest friends have a huge influence on who they are. And so one of the things we want to do as a church is we want to help your young people get plugged in and make great friends here at First Church. So this Friday night at 7 o'clock, we have the very first night of our senior high ministry. Now, this night in particular is going to be all about helping your students make new friends at the church. So whether your kids have attended before or whether they haven't, this would be a great night for them to come. Because, again, we want to help your kids get plugged in, for them to make friends at the church. And it's at 7 o'clock. It costs $10. We're going to do whatever, bowling. It'll be a great night. We have to think about why is it that the person who's listening, why are they interested? Why would they even be interested? There's no reason for them to be interested. So we need to think about it from their perspective. Why are they in it? Ultimately, what it does is it just, you just have to always ask the why question. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? You know, why do we launch you small groups? Why should someone listen about small groups? Why are we doing an offering even? What difference does that make to someone who's in the, you know, in church? Or why are we launching this new series? What difference does it make to them? Why is super important.
So let me throw out a couple of ideas here, and we can either, they can either fall flat or whatever. And that is, in this wrapping our announcement up with a why, what about sharing a quick testimony? Now, I mean like 30 seconds, or having your lead in be a testimony, either you say it or have someone say it, or a quick 30-second video, something like that, that gives a testimony of a life being changed by what you're about to talk about. That's one idea.
Absolutely, yeah.
Second idea would be what's called soft roll footage. So basically video footage that has no timing and no music with it, but just footage that is on screen while you're talking. So you can say, kids' lives are being changed by our vacation Bible school. It starts next week. And as you can see, here are some of the kids that come from our community that lives change. See that one kid right there? I remember being there, and he gave his life to Christ last year and blah, blah, blah. You can use those as examples. And that helps you wrap your announcement in a why. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think this is one of the advantages of particularly video announcements. You know, you can get up and say, we're launching this senior high thing on Friday night or whatever. But when there is soft roll footage or B-roll footage that is associated with that on a video announcement in, 30 seconds of, three different clips that you cut through there, you've communicated way more than you could in 10 minutes, because they see kids that look like their kids or They see fun things happening. They see, you know, music. They see, oh, they get a sense of what's going on. You'll never be able to communicate all that in your announcement time. So actually using a visual medium, again, this is one of the things that I know you and I agree on. You know, 65% of all people are visual learners. And so we don't want to have people just standing up there and talking. We want to use imagery, which is actually just a faster way to communicate. It's a way to get more information into the people's brains who are watching or a part of your service that every morning.
All right, so let's hit 4 and 5 real quick. Number 4 is to slow down and clarify action steps. And we talked through this a little bit, but how do we make our action steps obvious and clear?
Yeah, so again, the slow down piece is important. It's basically just a mirror to the, like, you should be talking about less things. I think we assume too much. That's the other piece of this equation. You know, we'll get up and say, and the churches are notorious for this. You'll be like, you know, we've got, we're doing training for all the volunteers who are interested in Wombaland. Well, you've said like 4 things in that sentence that, like, people don't know what are volunteers. This thing has volunteers. Like, what's Wombaland? I don't know what that is. And, you know, you've got to slow down and kind of use the information. And then particularly on the action steps, we should talk, about that. You want to make it super easy, reduce the friction, say, what is the easiest, simplest, next best step that we could do? And you do want to be constantly figuring out, are we doing this as simple as possible? Are we asking for as little information as possible? Don't ask for 10 things about, don't ask people social security if you're asking them to sign up to volunteer at something. Like, maybe not at the beginning at least. Make it easy. Make the steps really easy.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point in your book about making our sign-ups easier. You know, if my action step is to go to a link and it's a 3-page form of my life story, I'm going to be turned off by that. So, simple, easy methods of sign up and action, and make it very clear to people. I think that's good.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times, actually, what we want to be thinking about, I don't talk about this in the book, but it's something I've talked about in other contexts, is I actually think the call to action coming out of the services, all we should be looking for are people who are remotely interested in the area that we're talking for. We're just looking for them to indicate interest, to go from being an invisible contact to being visible. Like, who might be interested in the women's thing? Like, we need to find a list of people who might be interested. And then really our process behind the scene is about converting people who are interested into them actually signing off. I don't actually think you can go from, like, we're talking about the women's retreat, right from that to a full sign up. I think all you need to do is go from, I might be interested in that, to then, okay, now we're going to actually have to follow up with some people. Somebody's going to have to talk with them. We're going to have to send multiple emails, probably call them, all that kind of stuff to actually get them plugged in. And so actually, it's really just the raising of the hand. It's just making the who might be interested more obvious.
Yep. And we've talked about your last tip some as we've been discussing these, and that is be remarkable. How do we give announcements in a way that drive home the point creatively and engage people? And we've mentioned a couple of those with B-roll, with props, and different things. But speak to that some. How can we make our announcements remarkable?
Well, I think a big part of this is even just philosophically, whoever is doing it needs to think through, okay, what am I doing to stand out in the service? What is it that's going to be unique? What is it that is going to look different? You know, the kind of the human psychology side of this is the brain is a great pattern recognizer. And if the person that gets up every week does, like, the same thing, they are wearing the same suit and they drone on in the same way, what happens is that your brain actually shuts that off. Because what your brain says is, you've heard this before, we're going to save some energy right now, we're going to turn you off, and we're just going to wait for the next thing that looks different. So actually, it's about breaking the pattern. It's about saying, oh, we're going to do something different today. It's about, hey, we're going to, and some of this is sights and sounds and smells. It's like, hey, we're doing, we've got a movie night coming up. Let's actually pop some popcorn and hand out bags of popcorn during the announcement. Or, we're going to have, we're looking for volunteers for kids ministry. Let's have a kid come up on stage and do the announcement with you. It's that sort of thing that says, oh, this is different than what I've seen before. It's about breaking the pattern. It's about saying, what is something new? What is novel? What haven't we seen before? And again, it's not being a circus, but it is trying to say, we want you to stand out. And we talked about this earlier. Part of this comes down to the people, the personality of the people that are doing it. Yeah. They need to be a good communicator. They need to, the kind of ability to talk to people needs to be core to who they are.
All right, so let's review as we wrap up today. I'm going to hit on your five tips here for enhancing our church announcements. So number one, narrow your focus. Number two, get people to engage. Number three, always answer the question, what's in it for me? Four, slow down and clarify action steps. And five, be remarkable. And we'll put all this in the show notes page for this episode. Perfect. Links to Rich, your book, and the different things that you provide too. So kind of put a bow on this conversation for us today. Any parting thoughts on how to enhance our church announcements?
Well, I think, again, this is an area that we don't talk enough about in the church. It is, I think, from a strategic point of view, it is... it's an underutilized resource, and I think even if your church spent, you know, more time this year than you did last year, and more time next year than you did do this year, you will see an increase in effectiveness in this area of your church. So lean in, try to make the best use of it. And I think, you know, not to plug you guys too much, but be thinking about the video announcement piece, how you can augment what you're doing and add that to your services, because I think there's something there in that piece for sure.
Yeah. Well, man, you've spent several podcast episodes with me. We kind of had a marathon morning, so thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So grateful for you and all the content that you've shared with our audience, and I think it'll be super beneficial as we all work, our listeners work to make our worship experiences better. All this content is super beneficial and practical in making that happen. So thank you so much for your time, brother.
Have a great day.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Our team here at 1230 Media has years of ministry experience. We know what it's like to be the sole creative team member at a church, keeping up with the demands of every ministry department. We know the time and effort it takes to produce quality content. We also know that most churches don't have the budget for the creative staff they would like. That's why we're offering high-quality, premium church video announcements to churches for thousands of dollars less than a full-time hire. We've got a full team of creative professionals working to serve churches just like yours. We shoot video announcements on the highest standard of professional gear and equipment with experienced on-screen talent to deliver clean, polished announcements to your congregation every single week. You're not going to see any cheesy clip art or basic graphics here either. Our team of motion designers and video producers have decades of combined experience in creating the highest quality product for your church. Submitting your weekly announcements is incredibly easy. Simply log into your account, complete a weekly form giving us all of your details for each week, and submit it to our team. Our team begins to work right away to get your announcements delivered to you in plenty of time for your weekend worship experiences. We gather your script information every Thursday for the next weekend's worship experience. We deliver a polished quality video straight to your inbox every Tuesday for you to review. We make any revisions you might need and deliver your final announcement video every Thursday, guaranteed. Save your church tons of time and money. Contact our team to get your church video announcements in the works today.
You just heard all about our custom church video announcements that we produce for churches all around the world. We would love to produce quality announcement videos for you to air in your worship experience or online. You can check all that out. All the information is on our website at 1230.media/announcements. It's 1230.media/announcements. Articles, archives, and resources for this podcast episode are all online for you. Just visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com/166 will get you to this episode directly.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, a very special guest will be joining me. Veteran Hollywood writer and producer Brian Bird will be on the show. This is a guy who you may not know his name, but you definitely know his work. He is a 30-year veteran in producing some of the most family and faith-affirming shows over the last few decades. I'm talking Touched by an Angel. I'm talking Step by Step back in the 90s. The movie Captive. The movie The Case for Christ. The show When Calls the Heart. Brian is the heart and literally the pen behind these shows and movies. You're going to get a special behind-the-scenes glimpse at how Brian and other Christians are writing and producing some great family content and how God is blessing it. The story behind the show When Calls the Heart is amazing. Whether you watch the show, your spouse, or your family watches the show, it is a really incredible story of how it came to be and how God has blessed it and other projects that Brian has been a part of over the years. You're really going to enjoy it. Now, I know a lot of guys are like, I don't watch that show. My wife watches that show. I'm telling you that this episode, these next couple of episodes with Brian are really, really interesting and really engaging. Whether you watch the show or not, the story behind it will really help you as a church media leader, as a leader of volunteers, as a content creator. Lots of good stuff in these next couple of weeks. So the two-part series with Brian Bird starts next week on the show. Until next time, my friends, thank you for listening. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.